Well, this morning I will keep this short and make it a meditation, but I'd like to read Romans chapter 6. But before I do that, there's so many different ways you could come at baptism. You can look at it through the death, the burial, the resurrection, and in that way I think baptism is always that. There's the picture in 1 Peter about Noah and coming through the flood, and that is a picture of baptism. But the picture that has been on my mind in this last couple weeks as I've been preparing for this and reflecting on this is the picture of the Red Sea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, it talks about that the Israelites were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, we don't often think of the Red Sea crossing as a picture or an image of baptism. But in that, it says they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud being the Spirit and the sea being water. And what really strikes me about that picture is the separation that happened. They came in through, they went through the Red Sea. The enemies were left on that side of it, and they walked through on this side with God. And to me, that is a kind of a picture of baptism that I want to leave with us here today. That the sea closed, and the Israelites were on this side, and they were walking through that wilderness, and they were walking with God. But they were leaving a whole bunch of stuff behind them. They were leaving Egypt and the things of Egypt, Pharaoh, and all of those behind them. And to me, baptism, and Tim mentioned it, he wanted to leave his old life behind. And that's what baptism does. It's about going through the waters, and a bunch of stuff stays in the water. It's that picture of what Christ has done for us. But now there's a new and a separated life for us. And that life is about walking by faith in Jesus. So I'm going to make this quick, but let's look at Romans chapter 6. I'll read it, and I'll just make a few very brief comments about Romans 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be servants of sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The last part of verse 4 says, so that we too might walk in newness of life. That is the call for a disciple of Jesus Christ to come through the waters of baptism, leaving the Egypt behind us, leaving the old life behind us, and walking this new life, this newness of life through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the separation or the barrier between that old life that we're leaving behind and this new life that we have. Now, if I was to summarize kind of the theology of Romans chapter 6, basically I would summarize it and say this: dead people don't sin. Once you're in the casket, there's no more temptation, there's no more desire for sin, it's no longer a part of it. And the theology of Romans 6 is that you died with Christ. You were crucified with Christ, you were buried with Christ, and that old life of sin is past. And now we're to consider ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And he calls us then to walk in this new life. So the summary of all this is dead people don't sin, and but we are dead people, dead to sin, but now we are alive to God. I just want to kind of highlight four things that are that we know from Romans chapter 6. Four times in this chapter he uses the word we know or knowing. our Christian life is not based on what we feel. There will be times when you will not feel like God is close. There will be times when we don't feel God's presence. We don't feel like certain things are true. But Romans 6 is about knowing. It's about saying, this is what I believe. This is what God has said, and this is what I know. And so I want to give you four things that we know from with assurance from Romans 6. Number one, the first thing we know is that baptism connects us or unites us to the death and the resurrection of Christ so we can walk in new life. Each truth we know has a result in our lives. And so the first truth we know is we know that we've been buried with him through baptism. Verse 3 says, "Or do you not know that all of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore you have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." So baptism unites us to the crucifixion of Jesus, and it unites us to the resurrection of Jesus. So we take part in what we were crucified with him, but we were also raised to new life in him. So baptism is that connecting point that unites us to the death and resurrection. It makes it personal for me. We are baptized into Christ. And so we're identifying with what Jesus has done, and that he has done it for us. That his burial, his death, burial, and resurrection was not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It happened for me. That I'm connecting my life with that. That he did it for me. That I could live this new and separated life as I go through the waters of baptism. So baptism connects us to the death and resurrection of Jesus, so that we can walk in new life. We know this truth, and he says, so that you might walk in newness of life. So that's the result of that truth. Truth number two, through the cross of Jesus, this power of sin is broken over our lives. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says this, "Knowing this," again, something we know, it's not something we think might be true, "knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." The gospel is not just about forgiveness of sin. It is that. But it's also important to remember that the gospel is about breaking the power of sin over our lives. That doesn't mean that we will live in sinless perfection. We will always be tempted. We will fall and we will slip in many different ways, in numerous different ways. But the grip and the power of sin has been broken through the cross. And so we are to know this. We're to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, knowing this, that the old self was crucified. Again, it's not something we might feel. It's not something that we may say that I'm experiencing all the time, but it's something, again, that we know, and we're to consider this to be true for us. So the result of this would be that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Dead people don't sin. And so he says, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we know through the cross, Jesus has broken the power of sin over our lives. Number three, the third thing we know, the resurrection of Jesus means that he is victorious over death. In verse 9, it says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And so he says, death no longer is master over him. So we know that Jesus was raised from the dead, and death could not hold Jesus down. Death could not conquer or master him. And so he says, what's the result of this truth for our lives? That he is living to God. And so in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So now, in the same way that Jesus is living this life for God, because of our connection with his resurrection, we too can live alive to God. This new life, this life that represents and lives out the nature and character of Jesus Christ in our lives. And the final thing that we know from Romans chapter 6 is that we are called to present ourselves. It's presenting ourselves to obey Christ results in a transformed life. Romans 6 verse 16 says this, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness?" This passage would say you have two choices. You can present yourself to sin, or you can present yourself to Jesus. Those are really the only two choices that you have. There's no middle ground in that. And so he says, you are presenting yourselves to Christ as slaves for obedience. And he says the result of that will be righteousness. That your life will be in a course of sanctification. It says in the result of it is in verse 19, the last part says, "So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification." So we are called to present ourselves to Jesus Christ, to present ourselves as instruments of righteousness. And as we present ourselves to him, he will work out those things. He is at work within us both to will and to do according to his pleasure. That means that he is at work within us, giving us the will to do what he wants, but also giving us the power to do what he has. So Romans 6, this is a very condensed version, but Romans 6 calls us to live by the things that we really know. We know that baptism connects us to the death and resurrection of Jesus so that we can walk a new life. We know that through the cross of Jesus, the power of sin is broken in our lives. We know that Jesus is victorious over death through his resurrection. And we know that when we present ourselves to obey Christ, it will lead to sanctification. It will lead to a transformed life. And so we're called to follow him and to trust him. And one of the first calls that he calls his children to is the call to follow him in baptism and to say, "I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, was raised to new life, and that through baptism, I too am buried with Christ, but I'm raised to new life, and my life today is a life that I've separated. The old is gone, Egypt is gone, the ways of the world, the ways of sin is gone. I'm leaving that behind, and I'm walking a new life through faith in Christ, which leads to righteousness and truth."